and welcome back to WDOT Port Washington Sports in the Morning. I'm Zach alongside Gavin here, and today we have a very special guest joining us, Bill Pito. Bill is currently a studio host for Nick Games as well as hosts the MSG 150, which we'll talk about later on with the Rangers. Previously, Bill has been the anchor at ESPN where he hosted SportsCenter, NHL Tonight, NFL Primetime, Baseball Tonight, and Sports Smash. So once again, we'd like to welcome Emmy Award winner Bill Pito. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome, guys. Zach, Gavin, it's great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
So how did your time at Cornell influence your career path in broadcasting?
So when I was at Cornell, there weren't a lot of people that wanted to be sportscasters. You go to a place like Syracuse, everybody wants to be a sportscaster. So at Cornell, for someone like me, there was a lot more opportunity to get practical experience while I was in college. So that really helped me. I got on the student radio station. I helped call Cornell basketball games. I helped call Cornell football games. And I was also very fortunate when I was in college, the city of Ithaca started a local newscast. And I, believe it or not, worked with Carl Ravitch, who you guys probably are familiar with. The two of us, he went to college, I went to Cornell. The two of us were the sportscasters on this local news station in Ithaca. So we got great experience with that, got great TV experience, and the radio experience really helped me as well. So it was really beneficial for me to be at a place where not everybody wanted to be a broadcaster.
Bill, after you graduated, what was the work that you put in to allow you to get the job at SportsCenter?
So I started after Cornell. I went to Binghamton. Job was at WBNG. I made $6 an hour. And my rent was $120 a month. I was in Binghamton for 2 years. Then I got a job 2 years after I was in Binghamton in Syracuse. Then I went to Boston for about a year and a half. And then I auditioned for SportsCenter in February of 1993. I didn't get hired for SportsCenter. They hired Carl Ravitch, believe it or not. So the two of us who started together ended up auditioning against each other for a spot on SportsCenter. They hired him. And then I got hired to do Sports Smash, which was a segment on ESPN2 when it launched in the fall of 93. So I got hired at ESPN in August of 1993.
Wow. So what's the preparation that goes into SportsCenter?
So when you work on SportsCenter, you have to know a little bit about everything. So you have to be able, for example, to talk about NASCAR. You have to be able to talk about college baseball. You have, so that when you do highlights, you have an idea about what you're talking about. That's one of the big challenges of being a SportsCenter anchor. Now SportsCenter mainly focuses on the NFL and the NBA. When I was on SportsCenter, we did everything: baseball, NASCAR, tennis, golf. So that was a real challenging part of that job, is that you had to know a little bit about everything.
And what was your favorite program to work at while you're at ESPN?
So I was really lucky to do a lot of different things, but the highlight for me definitely was in the football seasons of 1995 and 1996, probably before you guys were even born.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of the show NFL Primetime?
Yep, I love NFL Primetime.
Okay, but I was on it when it was on cable, and it was the biggest show ESPN had. And for two seasons, I was kind of like his second banana. doing a couple of highlights per show, and it was a huge audience. And Chris Berman, to me, is my favorite. He's a legend. He's a trailblazer for most of all of us. And getting to work next to him for those 2 years was an incredible thrill.
So I want to go now into what you're doing now with the Knicks and the Rangers, the MSG 150. I got to say, I love the MSG 150. Every halftime gets me caught up with what's happening the night before, the night of. So how did that all start? Was this something that started when you got there, or was it there before you?
So, long ago, our management wanted to come up with a segment that would hopefully hold people's attention either between periods of a Rangers game or at the halftime of a Knicks game. So they came up with the 150, and it's 150, it's 2.5 minutes, which is exactly the time of the segment between commercial breaks. So that's how it started. I've been very lucky. The producer I work with, Jeff Ostell, is the one that comes up with all these fantastic clips. He's the one that times the segment. He does all the creative elements that we do. I write a lot of it, but I don't have to worry about the timing. I'm just allowed to kind of give it my own flavor. Most of the success of the segment is because Jeff Ostell is the one who comes up with the amazing clips, and he's also brilliant at timing the segment as well.
So I was going to ask you, so how do you like watch a clock while you're doing it to make sure you're on time?
So I don't have to worry about the clock because Jeff, the producer, makes sure everything's to time. It's 5 seconds on camera, then the rest of it is highlights, and then it's 5 seconds at the end. So it's really 140 seconds of total tape. He does a miraculous job, especially in the post-game 150s when all of these games are ending, timing it so we are exact to time. And my challenge is just having to go through the highlights and not having seen them often ahead of time, but I don't have to worry about the timing of the segment.
Do they, like, get the videos as the game's going throughout the first half? They're looking for those highlights, or is some of it prepared going into the game, like the nights that what happened the night before?
So the stuff the night before is prepared. I can write that and see that. The material for the night of, we have loggers in there logging games for highlights, and they work with Jeff to put the clips together of tonight's action, for example. When I go in tonight, we got the Rangers against Seattle, I'll be able to prepare what happened last night, and that will already have been edited. The stuff that's done tonight is done tonight.
And for our final long question, do you go into the shows with scripts of what you want to talk about for the particular show? And if so, how much preparation does it take?
So the pregame show for the Knicks, I get a format, which is kind of like the show outline, and there's no scripts. It's all ad lib. And that is one of the big adjustments I had to make, because when you work on SportsCenter, it's very scripted. When you're on camera on ESPN, you write it, and it comes into the teleprompter. And then you get shot sheets to describe the highlights. At MSG, it's all off the cuff. It's all ad lib. So that's one of the big challenges, especially on the postgame show, when you're trying to process everything that just happened in real time. And that's what I love so much about this job, is the challenge, particularly in a postgame show, of trying to come up together with everybody and synthesize all that has happened.
Which do you prefer, like going with the script like at ESPN or what you're doing now?
I've become really comfortable with no script. I think it allows for more ad-libbing, more personality. And if I had to go to a tightly scripted show now, I don't know what would happen, to be honest with you. It's much easier when it's free-flowing and you're not so tied to what is formatted.
Gotcha. So now we're going to just do some quick questions. We do this with every interview that we do. I'll just ask you some fun questions. So I know you've broadcasted some games also. Where is your favorite place you've called a game from?
So believe it or not, guys, I've only called two games in my whole life.
One was this year. I watched that game. How'd
I do?
I was impressed, because you were usually in the studio doing pregame, halftime, postgame, but you filled the shoes of Mike Breen.
Thank you, guys. So I've done the Minnesota Timberwolves preseason, and the game you're just talking about when the Knicks were at the Wizards, and that's all I've ever done in my whole life. So it was a great experience. Obviously, I would need a lot more reps to get really good. You know, one of the great things of working at MSG is I'm working with the greats. Mike Breen's in the Hall of Fame. Sam Rose is the Hall of Fame. Clyde Frazier, he's in the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster and as a player. Joe Micheletti on the hockey side has had a national run, great reputation. Kenny Albert calls every sport. So when I got an opportunity to fill in for Mike Breen, man, I was like really like make sure really – And I think it will, so I'm really excited about that.
So you mentioned Kenny Albert. He actually grew up here in Port Washington. Not sure if you know that.
I'm sorry, you cut out. What did you say?
Oh, I said you mentioned Kenny Albert there. He actually grew up where we grew up here in Port Washington, went to our high school and everything.
Is that right? Have you guys met him?
No, we've never met him. I tried to get him on the show, but the DM didn't go through. So we've tried. Well,
keep trying. I'll mention to him that I was on with you guys. So he went to Port Washington High School?
Yeah. He grew up here, Port Washington, went to this high school. So it's pretty cool.
Wow, I didn't know that. I'll have you tried to DM on Instagram like you did me?
Yeah, I DM'd him twice, I believe.
All right, well, keep trying, and I'll tell him that Zach and Gavin are looking to get him on the Port Washington radio show.
That would be great. So, another question here. Would you rather host the pregame show from in the arena when you do it up in the deck, or do you prefer do it in studio?
So, to be honest with you guys, when you're in the arena, it's a huge adjustment, and I enjoy it, but it's also challenging because there's crowd noise, there's the PA announcer, and there's blaring music. So sometimes it can be very challenging to hear the producer who's in the truck and to hear what Wally or Alan or Monica are saying. When you're in the studio, it's a lot more controlled. I love being in the arena. It's a lot more juice, so to speak, but also can be very challenging in terms of concentrating and not being distracted by all the noise.
And our last quick question, what's your dream people to share a studio with?
The people I work with, I love. I love Wally. I love Alan. Monica's the best. I have great fun with Monica. I had the opportunity, as I mentioned, to work with Chris Berman and also Stuart Scott. To me, Stuart Scott, the late, great Stuart Scott and Chris Berman are the most electric studio personalities that have ever been in the studio doing sports and doing highlights. And working with those two guys, as I was able to do, and then working with the guys I do now, those are the people that I used to love working with and the people I love with working now.
Lastly, do you have any advice for Zach and I as young broadcasters?
Do what you're doing now. You guys are great, man. I'm really impressed. I can't believe you guys are only sophomores in high school. Get as much experience as you can. Keep doing these interviews. Work on your craft. When you get to college, try to get as much experience as you can. This is a practical business, meaning that you need as much practical experience to get as good as you can so that when you're of age, you can get a job. And I'm really impressed with you guys. You guys are off to a great start.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us. We had a great time with you today, and we'll let you go now.
Awesome. Zach and Gavin, great to be on. Let's do it again, and stay well, okay, guys?
Absolutely. You too.
Thanks for coming on.
Boys. Bye.
Bye.